Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. The close of Habakkuk's prophecy. And what a close. What a note to end on. When you bear in mind what this prophecy is all about, when you remember Habakkuk's heart and condition at this time, what a note to end on. Habakkuk has been utterly honest and real. With God, first of all. With himself, of course. And then, of course, setting it all out in writing for Judah in his time and for us today. This utterly honest prophet has laid himself open for all to see. We've seen his turmoil, the stress, the tension, the grief, the anxiety that's within him, the conflict in his mind, and he's opened it all for God and for man to see. He's seen Judah's sin, and he knows God is going to come in judgment, using the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they'll be cruel in the extreme. And he fears what's coming, and he cries out to God. He pleads with God. He's complained to God, and God has answered. He's complained again, and God has come back to him. And he's prayed, and he's argued with God. This is what you've done in the past, O Lord. You have worked in mighty power. You come in glorious triumph over your enemies. You've shown yourself to be the God of power and goodness and greatness for Israel. Oh, come again. Will you not revive us? Will you not refresh us? Renew them in our time. Renew your actions in our time, O Lord. And he's cried out to God. But he knows that judgment is coming. So how does he finish? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments, he can play. He can hear music. He can sing. He wants music, even in these distressing days. Why? The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet. He enables me. And therefore, though all my world may collapse around me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. You have to remember the agricultural society that we're talking about here. This is a society that depends on farming, the fields, the animal stock, the orchards, and all to do with agriculture. Fig trees, grapes, olives, fields, sheep, cattle. And all that, says Habakkuk, yet though all that should fail, imagine, I've seen videos and films and stuff of farmers and market gardeners coming to the end of their useful life because there's no profit in their farm and their market gardens and their greenhouses, their glasshouses of all had to end. And I've seen glasshouse after glasshouse in ruin with brambles instead of the tomatoes that used to be grown and so on because there's no profit in the crop. Here it could be natural disaster. But of course, connected with the Chaldeans have razed all this to the ground or else they've robbed Israel, Judah, of all its possessions. And Habakkuk can face it all. and he faces the worst of circumstances, and he still rejoices in the Lord. To get the force of this in our Western society, some agricultural societies and people listening to me from agricultural societies, they will understand this. But for those of us, say, in the West or in places where there's much affluence, imagine if the electricity power should fail. So we have no heating. We have no lighting. We can't cook. We can't watch our TV. Our computers won't work. We have no power. Imagine our wealth to be gone. Imagine our power to be gone. Imagine our health to fail. Imagine the worst of circumstances. I speak to you, brother and sister. Let us face the worst of circumstances. What's the fig tree for you? The grape, the olive, the fields, the sheep, the cattle. What if your health should go? Your job should go? Bereavement. Somebody very close to you. What if old age should come on? It will come on. I speak to myself as a preacher. What if my preaching should stop? What would it be like when I can no longer write and travel? What would it be like when I can no longer give these short discourses? Can I learn from Habakkuk? Will I learn from Habakkuk? Notice his determination. Yet I will rejoice. I will be. It's not going to happen, as it were, by chance. This man is determined. And he's going to rejoice. And he's going to be joyful. What a challenge to me, brother. What a challenge to me, sister, and you. A challenge to you. But where is his rejoicing? In his circumstances? Not at all. That's the point. The circumstances have all gone wrong. Is it in his creeds and confessions, in his church? Is it in his possessions? No. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Why? Because the sovereign Lord, God is still sovereign. When all around my soul gives way, he still then, even then, is all my hope and stay. He is still God. This is Habakkuk's confession. The Lord is still in control. He is my strength too. There's a personal thing here. He is my Savior. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me. He gives me a nimbleness even in old age. And bereavement and loss, even in death itself. Habakkuk is a challenge to me, brother and sister. Is he a challenge to you? He rebukes me. Does he rebuke you? He encourages me. Look to the Lord, he says. And of course, in the days of the new covenant, how much more I can know. How much more I have. How many more scriptures do I have? How many more promises? What depth do I know now compared to Habakkuk of God and his love in Christ by the power of the Spirit in the days of the new covenant? If Habakkuk could rejoice in the Lord and be joyful in God his Savior, how much more should I? But of course, one of the hymns says, this is a sweet lesson and easy to repeat, but when my faith is sorely tried, I prove myself a learner yet, weak, a child, and stumble. And do you feel the same? I want to learn from this passage, and I want to go from this discourse determined, whatever shall come, and who knows what a day may bring forth, to rejoice in God and in his power. And in his grace, and sing, and look to the day when Christ shall come, and take me into everlasting glory, then I shall sing forever. Unbeliever, This has a tremendous word for you. You see, the fig tree, the grape, the olive, the fields, the sheep and the cattle and the equivalent, you see, are all your world, aren't they? This is your heaven now, isn't it? Your possessions, your power, your wealth, your place in society, your circumstances. These are all you have and all you will ever have. This is the best it will ever be. And it's going to fade and crumble. Your health will go. Bereavement will come. And death is on the road. You won't always be able to do what you can do now. I know what the gods of this age are. I only have to look at the TV schedules and see that. Look at the novels that are sold. Gods of this age? Power. Wealth. Pleasure. Sex. Money. Food. Luxury. Hedonism of every kind. All this will fail. Your taste will go. The book of Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, talks about it. Taste will go. The power to sense will go. Hearing will go. Health will go. It will all go, my friend. What then? Can't you learn from Habakkuk? The Lord God himself, Christ his Son, by his Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, you know nothing. If you don't have him, you are bankrupt. Look to Christ now. For all these earthly things that you taste, touch, see, handle, will all die as you will. What then? Let Habakkuk from the Old Covenant teach you. Let the New Covenant teach you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will find treasure without end in him. Everlasting life. I plead with you. Do not live for and live upon the figs, the grapes, the olives, the fields, the sheep, the cattle, the circumstances, the pleasures of this life. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know everlasting salvation in him. Without him you have nothing. With him you have all things, for Christ is all and in all. And so I close the prophet Habakkuk. May he challenge us. May he encourage us. May he teach us. And whatever the lots may be for the churches we know and love, whatever our lot may be for ourselves personally, yet may we take his words upon our lips and from our heart, and all of us mean, and say this, and sing it too, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Why? Because the Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. May it be so for the glory of God himself and our everlasting good. Amen.